This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. And really glad you tuned in today. We've got another great show. And I'm excited about it to have Jennifer Kennedy Dean back on the show. She's always a great guest. And I hope you have some great plans for this weekend, but I hope that you're really able to pull a chair up if you're driving. Listen closely, because we've got a powerful conversation in store for you today. Jennifer's written a new book. It's called Altered: Experience the Power of Resurrection. And here are a few questions that I pulled out of the book. That these are for you. How much time do you spend feeling guilty and discouraged? In moments of harsh honesty, do you feel that you never quite measure up, no matter how hard you try? Are you tired of trying to live in the way that you actually long to live? Well, my guest today says that God wants you to cooperate with him because he's so committed to seeing you free of the toxic flesh that works against your freedom. Well, I'm excited to welcome back to the show Jennifer Kennedy Dean. Let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the show. Jennifer Kennedy Dean is director of Praying Life Foundation, and she's a celebrated author and respected expert on prayer. She's widely recognized as an unusually gifted communicator of the deep truths of God's Word. She's spoken at such venues as the Billy Graham Training Center, at The Cove, and at Focus on the Family. She's a member of America's National Day of Prayer Committee and National Prayer Director for Christian Women in Media. She became a widow in 2005 after 26 years of marriage to Wayne Dean, her partner in life and ministry. They are the parents of three adult sons, and Jennifer makes her home in Marion, Kentucky. Jennifer, great to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Susie. Always good to be here.
Likewise. Well, good to be with you is what I mean. Hey, you know, we start out talking about Scripture, and I love the one you chose, John 3:6. And to me, this is the basis of your whole book. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Talk to us about that passage.
Yes. You know, when we talk about altered, and if you don't mind, I'm going to spell the title.
Yeah.
Spelled wrong, A-L-T-A-R apostrophe D. It's spelled not how you expected it to be spelled. But flesh, this is what Jesus says about your flesh. And in a minute, let's talk about what flesh is. But he says about your flesh, it just gets you nowhere. It profits nothing. And Paul says, it just feels like I'm dragging around dead weight. And so Jesus wants to set us free from our flesh, not because he's mad at us, not because he's disappointed in us, because he loves us with such commitment and such passion that he says, I don't want you dragging around dead weight. I want you to be able to run the race flat out. And our flesh just holds us back and keeps us repeating patterns of behavior over and over again, sometimes for our entire lives, unless we discover the way that God has chosen to set us free.
That's an excellent description. And this hour, I believe, is going to be great encouragement to somebody, in fact, many, because the life and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is, as you said, meant to set us free, to mobilize us to be everything God intended us to be. So we're going to talk in the hour to come about how to discern flesh from spirit, how to die that we might live, and how to put ourselves on the altar so that God's spirit can alter us. So we've got 6 copies of Jennifer's book to give away today. And you feel free to chime in and ask Jennifer questions along the way. I'll give you the number 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So Jennifer, you opened the story with a book about a time when your late husband went through a season of unemployment.
Yeah.
And that, I appreciated that story because of what it brought up in you and your honesty around that, because it's just a great example we can all relate to. Tell that story and what you learned about yourself in that experience.
This is one of the many, but it was the first experience where God really began to put these pieces together for me. Decades he has been working this into my life. Mm. My husband went through a long period of unemployment. Now, before that, I would have said to you about myself, now I know that I'm comfortable and I pretty much have things that I want, but I don't really care about them. They're not important to me. If they were gone, I wouldn't really care. And then when they were gone, I found out that was not the truth about me at all. And I began to realize through that experience how much I put my value in what I owned, how much I depended on the for my confidence. I really had faith in my husband's paycheck, and there were all kinds of things that I discovered the truth about myself that I would never had known had God not allowed that experience into my life. And so I, at the beginning, I'm saying, give him a job. That's what you're supposed to do, God. Fix this now before it hurts me. And that's when the Lord began to say, crucifixion hurts. Crucifixion's messy and bloody and never fun, but it yields resurrection. And I can tell you that all these many years later, it is true of me that I don't have to have things and outward possessions, but it was a bloody mess to get me there. But it's much freer place for me to live.
Mm. And just him preparing for what the road ahead was going to be like for you, that's kind of amazing. Well, you said in the book, at some point you realized that your feelings could not have their origins in the spirit. And then you wrote here, fear equals flesh. Anger equals flesh. Humiliation equals flesh. And the reason I want you to tell that story is I know someone's listening today who's tied up in knots and doesn't realize that it doesn't have to be this way. And I'm wondering, would you talk to that person and give them some kind of advice?
Yes. I was quoting from my journals at that time, and I began to recognize, I began to say to myself, fear doesn't come from the spirit. Humiliation about my condition doesn't come from the spirit. So where do those things come from? Oh, they come from my flesh. What's making me miserable every day? Fear, humiliation, all those things my flesh produces, those are making me miserable. They're getting me nowhere. They're tying me to old patterns. And so here's what I want to say to you. If you're walking through that kind of experience where it seems to you that perhaps God is doing the opposite of the thing he should do in your life, instead of giving to you, he's taking away from you. And you're saying, that's not how this should work. If you will just let God do the work he intends to do through this experience, you will come out of it on the other side with resurrection power. Our flesh works really hard to keep things in order and keep them familiar and keep them the way we think they're supposed to be and get them lined up like we thought they ought to look. Our flesh works hard at that, but it gets us nowhere. So surrender. And the word I've used is take the noun altar, A-L-T-A-R, and make it a verb in your life. On purpose, surrender your flesh and let God bring resurrection power out of this.
You know, so often we think the answer is for me to get my way, when really the answer is for God to have his way. Wow, amazing.
And to remember, Susie, when that strikes you, when you realize that that God is working something intentional and strategic into your life, that's why he has allowed and even engineered in your life at this moment, this circumstance, you can know this about God. He is good, and what he does is good. He has for you a future and a hope. He's not trying to punish you or beat you down or break you. He is trying to set you free.
Amen. Well, for the purpose of, since we'll be talking a lot about the flesh in the coming hour, describe what you mean when we refer to flesh in this conversation.
Yes. Our flesh is all the places in our lives where we are still operating in the power of our own human nature or human personality instead of having surrendered that to the Spirit. Now, so sometimes people will say sins of the flesh, and by that they usually mean things we do with our bodies. But all sin is sins of the flesh. That's where sin comes from, is when our flesh is trying to do for us what only God can do. Here's the core of flesh. Flesh tries to be its own source. And so when you find yourself just worn out with your life, if you'll step back and look, you will realize that you have been trying hard to accomplish in your life what only God can accomplish. Working in the flesh just wears you out.
Yeah, flesh begets more flesh. Spirit begets spirit. Well, maybe you've got a question for my guest today. We've got a handful of copies of this book. It actually reads like a 40-day devotional, and great entries and thought-provoking questions at the end of each chapter. Love to hear from you. You have to get on the air to get the book. Otherwise, you can email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com, Susie@faithradionet.com, 877-933-2484. So in the book, you explain how we as believers, though we have the Spirit of God in us, at the same time, we have these certain measures of active, uncrucified flesh. And you even kind of likened them to sleeper cells. So talk about that, how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but still have these pockets of flesh in our character.
Yes. The minute that Jesus comes to make his home in you, and that's what happens at salvation, is that Jesus says, we will come and make our home in you. At that part of you that is spirit, you are immediately made perfect. The minute his feet hit the ground, there's nothing more to do. But you are living that spirit-filled life through the grid of a personality that has patterns in it and leftover habits and pockets of flesh. And a lot of times those pockets of flesh come to you through generations. You'll begin to see when you start to differentiate between flesh and spirit, you're going to begin to see that your flesh has a certain pattern to it. Your flesh pattern might be different than my flesh pattern, and what that means is that things happen in your world, in your circumstances, personalities come into your orbit, and these circumstances or these personalities engage your particular flesh pattern. And so you might have a flesh pattern of envy, and lots of different things happen, but that's the way your flesh always responds. Or you might have a flesh pattern of feeling like you're not as good as everybody else. So all kinds of different things happen, but engages the same response from you. You feel like you're not good enough, and then your flesh tries to compensate for that, and you develop this pattern of behavior that destroys every relationship, and yet you do it again because it seems like it's on automatic pilot. And so, and those are the things that discourage us when we go, I'll never get over this, because we're trying really hard in our flesh to suppress our flesh. But there's only one answer for flesh, and that is it has to die the death of crucifixion. And there's no other way. And when it dies its death, what happens then is resurrection power takes its place, because God never engineers a crucifixion that doesn't have as its conclusion a resurrection.
Such a powerful truth, Jennifer. I'm thinking of how often we coddle our flesh. We make excuses for our flesh. We blame others for our fleshly reactions. And I was thinking of some symptoms of the flesh. I'll list a few that I wrote down, but I'd love for you to add to it. Irritability, self-seeking, self-preserving, self-promoting, insists on quick fixes, puts focus on others' foibles, and shines a spotlight on your own highlight reels. Maybe think of a few others, because you said we all have these different patterns. But just kind of describe some symptoms of the flesh.
Yes, there are so many ways that the flesh can express itself, but it always has this same root. It is trying to accomplish for you what only God can do. It's trying to be its own source. And every one of those things that you mentioned is a particular pattern that flesh might take. You might have outbursts of anger. You might be competitive. There are just so many flavors that your flesh can have. And what we say to ourselves, here's how I was before God began to make this so clear to me. I would say to myself, well, that's just my personality. I mean, anyone would react like that. You heard what she said. But you see, it's not just, and you're just kind of thinking, that's who I am. It's not who you are. That's the good news of all this. It's not who you are anymore. And you don't have to be that person anymore. And when we're talking about the way that flesh expresses itself, we're talking about something that's a little deeper than those behaviors that we all agree are sinful. We're not so much talking about the behaviors as the the root that produces those behaviors. And one of the things, I love this, when Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, you just are all about getting the outside of the cup and dish clean. You focus on that. You're so committed to that. But inside, it is full of all kinds of mess and ruin. Now, here's what I love. He says, if you clean the inside, the outside will be clean also. So what we're talking about in altered is not just cleaning up your behaviors by using your willpower. It is surrendering to the power of crucifixion so that he can clean up the inside, and then the outside will be clean.
Yeah, hallelujah. Well, if you just tuned in, really glad you joined us. I'm talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean today about her new book, Altered, Experience the Power of a Resurrection. It's a 40-day like devotional all about dying that we might live, dying to our flesh, that we can walk and live in the Spirit. Maybe you've got a question on how do you put to death the deeds of the flesh that you can walk in the Spirit. Give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We've got Teresa calling from T, South Dakota. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie and Jennifer. I've been listening to this show, and I've been walking this walk for the last year and a half, exactly what Jennifer is describing, and I am tired. And I just would love to know, how do I surrender to God so I can stop walking in the flesh and start walking in the Spirit?
Hmm. Here's how the process has been for me, again, as I said, over decades and an ongoing project, is first of all, when I first recognized, here's the problem, I'm operating in my flesh. That is just a life changer right there to just go, oh, this isn't just my personality. This isn't just the way anybody would do it. I'm working in my flesh. So you start recognizing that. And flesh, especially strong flesh patterns, are going to have to stay on the cross a long time. So every time you begin to recognize that your flesh is engaging, something has happened. Somebody said something. An event has occurred in your life. Something, whatever it is out here that engages that pattern that you used to think, oh, that's just me. That's just my personality. Now you're going to say, okay, I recognize that that's flesh, and I don't have to live and operate out of that flesh. And as I said, crucifixion is bloody and messy. But here's when you know you've entered into resurrection. You've stayed on the cross long enough. Your flesh is not going to be quiet. It's going to beg for its life. It's going to say, come on, it's always worked before. But you don't do the flesh thing. The day comes when the very same thing happens out in your circumstances that used to always engage that flesh, and you don't even notice it.
Hallelujah.
Then you're walking in the resurrection. So I just want to say this. When Jesus faced his crucifixion, the scripture said what held him to the task was for the joy set before him. Mm. When God starts walking you through a crucifixion, there's nothing fun about it, except that you know he has brought this crucifixion into your experience so he can give you resurrection. That's the only reason.
Mm. Beautiful. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry. I go on and on. I'm so passionate about this topic. It has so transformed my life. So I want to say one more thing. Here's how you enter into the crucifixion at any given moment, a million moments a day. You don't do the flesh thing. If your flesh always has to get the last word, just don't. If your flesh always has to make a comment, just don't. You'll feel incomplete. You'll be saying to yourself, oh, my goodness, if I don't get the last word, they won't know I was right. And your flesh will fight you until you keep it down long enough that it's completely surrendered to crucifixion, and resurrection is now your experience.
Mm, and I don't want you to be quiet at all, Jennifer. I love your passion, and you're absolutely right about this. And we would welcome your call if you've got a question or comment. Don't go away, Teresa. We want to pray for you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I wonder, Jennifer, if you'd pray for Teresa. I just love the passion and sincerity in her heart. I wonder if you could pray for her.
Father, we bring our sister Teresa to you knowing that you are such a micromanager, that it is by your design that you brought her into this conversation today because you are getting ready to produce resurrection in her life. Mm. Father, I pray for spiritual discernment every moment of every day for Teresa, that she will begin to realize when flesh is dragging her down and she could let it go and experience the power of your spirit. Father, whatever the circumstances are that's bringing Teresa into a crucifixion of flesh, we trust you. We trust your love for her. We trust your ability to produce what we cannot. It's all in your hands, and we know that is a safe place for it to be. So, Father, I thank you in advance for the power of resurrection that is going to be so big in Teresa's life just because of this walk she's in right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Teresa, there's a joy set before you. God is with you. That's excellent. Okay, you know, sometimes it seems God allows or even orchestrates scenarios to bring our flesh out of hiding. Love for you to explain how and why God does that.
Yeah. When I first began to think through this process and notice how God works in my life, I thought, well, God, I think it would make so much more sense if you would not let those things happen, not bring those personalities into my life, then I would not be fleshy at all. But see, here is the truth. Your flesh is in. If there's flesh to be engaged, then there's flesh in there, and it doesn't. It's no favor to you to let it just hang around undiscovered because it is still wreaking havoc in your life. So when these kinds of things happen that engage your flesh, and I'm not talking about huge dramatic things. We live life in moments. And that's where the crucifixion happens. It's those little things. And as they engage your flesh, it is by God's design because he's bringing it out and exposing it and bringing you to what I call a crucifixion moment. When you finally recognize flesh, you've been calling it something else all along, but now you're going to recognize flesh. The thing that happened that engaged that flesh may be wrong. That's not your problem. Your problem is that there's flesh to be engaged. And he's doing that on purpose so you can come to a crucifixion moment where you stop and make a choice. Like Jesus said of his own crucifixion, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down by my own choice. So you come to this moment and you say, I can act in my flesh one more time. I can nurture those emotions. I can do whatever my flesh does. I can do that one more time and strengthen its hold, or I can surrender it to its crucifixion. Now, see, it's Jesus. The scripture tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, our flesh, our old man, died with him. But what we're doing is keeping it on automatic life support. So we just, like, pull that plug. We just go, I am not breathing life into this flesh one more time. And I know it's not going to die an easy death, but I know there's resurrection on the other side of this.
You know, it's such a powerful thing when God allows a test in our lives or a circumstance to bring up where the enemy intends to bring up a similar response, but we have a God response instead. It's so encouraging to go, I'm not who I was. Isn't it a beautiful thing when God does allow a test to show that we've grown? I hear that all the time from guests on this show where Wendy Blight just the other day, she's a rape victim, and years later her family was burglarized, and she said, I had so dealt with that fear that people thought it was going to send me hurling. And she said, I stood. And she said, God did it from the inside out. It's a powerful thing, isn't it?
It is. And just what you're describing and what Wendy's describing is not something she gritted her teeth and closed her eyes and clenched her fists and did. It's something that changed inside to such an extent that the outside was all changed also.
Absolutely. Well, we've got 2 minutes before our break. I think I'm going to let Deanna ask her question, then I need to jump in and you can think about it. We just have a minute break and we'll come back. So, Deanna, thank you for waiting.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi. You know, I said the question changes while I listen so many times. I'm kind of getting the gist of it. My question, I guess, was, I know that I'm set free in Christ. And my prayer, I think, from God has been, help me walk in that freedom. And I wanted to know what the difference is if I say in my flesh, no, I'm not going to continue this behavior, where does the Holy Spirit take over and it stops being me that's doing it in the flesh, I guess, even when I'm choosing the freedom?
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent question.
Excellent question. You actually address that in the book. I'm gonna give you a minute. Can you do that?
Okay.
And then we'll pick it up on the other side of the break if we need.
Okay. Let me just give a real quick thought about that. Is that it's almost hard to describe. You have to experience. But what your flesh does is focus really hard on changing your behavior. Now I'm not saying just cut loose, but what the Spirit does is work really hard on discovering what it is that produces that behavior. And cleaning that out. And so, for example, and Susie, stop me when I need to stop, even if I'm in the middle of a thought. So, for example, let's say that you've discovered that there's a person in your life who engages your flesh. And let's talk after the break about what we do about that.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
Get over to the Spirit.
This is good stuff. I see those calls coming in. Great conversation. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean about life in the Spirit, life in the flesh. Welcome your calls or email Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Jennifer Kennedy Dean in just a moment.
Worshippers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, O Lord. I surrender to the King.
So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. Great song. I just want to pause and listen to it. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean today about her new book, Altered, Experience the Power of Resurrection. And before the break, we had a caller ask about, even when I'm putting to death the deeds of the flesh, how do I know I'm not doing that just in my flesh? And so you started to talk about it's not like haranguing our bad behavior, but it's really a discernment of the Spirit and responding from there. Why don't you go on from there?
Yeah. And now, it's subtle enough that you require the Spirit in that moment to show you. But let me just give you an example from my own life. So let's say, and I just feel confident that every listener will say, there's at least one person in my life who every time she opens her mouth engages my flesh. She's not one of those. And so let's just talk about her. And so you look on the caller ID and you see, this is a conversation that could well engage my flesh. Now, here's how I might have done it in my flesh. I might have said to myself, I will not let her get to me. No matter what she says, I'm not going to judge. No matter what she says, I'm not going to let her get to me. Now, do you see how the focus is still what's wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the Lord has taught me how to alter my life and put it on his altar and leave it there, I'm going to say, Lord, I have judgy flesh, and I can feel that it is about to engage, and I just want to surrender it to you right now. Then what I find I can often do is respond to the person I always respond in my flesh. Now when my flesh is altered, it's on the altar, I can respond to her in the Spirit. It's probably her flesh that's speaking. And so when I respond to her flesh out of my flesh and then back and forth, and Paul says, now we no longer respond to any man in the flesh. When I can get that flesh out of the way, not her flesh, that's not my problem, my flesh. And I say, I just surrender that flesh to you, Jesus. Would you hear her? Would you respond to her? And I can't tell you the people over the years that I have come to love and adore when they used to be the person who engages my flesh.
Isn't that amazing? It made me think of Frangipane. Francis Frangipane talks about bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, as Scripture says. And he says, it's not that you keep pounding yourself in repentance, calling yourself names. It's that you come back humbly going, Lord, here I am again. I'm going to repent of this issue until it's no longer, you know, a weakness in me. It's a place that I'm actually bearing fruit. And I love what you said, because instead of saying she's so judgmental, I mean, I see it in her because I have it in me. So to humbly repent and then engage the Holy Spirit, suddenly you're walking in supernatural power. That's the amazing thing. Love
that's
that. Right. 877.
And we get the focus off of what's wrong with her that she engages my flesh onto what's the flesh in me that she's able to engage. It's subtle, but do you get the difference?
Yeah, totally different. Putting yourself over the glory spout, my pastor used to say. I love that. 877-933-2484. We've got Dennis calling from Winnipeg, Canada. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, Susie.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and I just want to thank you for your show. You have really solid, high-level teaching, and especially today, I really think this topic is so much neglected. We don't hear a whole lot of teaching on this approach, and yet it is so important.
It's kind of old-fashioned, isn't it, Dennis?
It is.
We used to write about the flesh.
We won't learn this from the psychologists, I'm afraid to tell you. But
no.
Anyhow, you know, I've been reading and working on this for a long time myself. And there's a little book, this previous caller, I just felt for her. And there's a little book that I've read many times, and I go back to it and I say, why are you such a slow learner? But it's called The Green Letters, Principles of Spiritual Growth by Miles J. Stanford. Mm-hmm. And he goes into this principle of position from Romans 6, and it's also found in Galatians, and that it this idea of you have to watch the tenses. He talks about reckoning ourselves to have died with Christ on the cross. We're not dead. The flesh is still alive, but we have to reckon it to have died. Now, I can't explain all that, but I just know there's got to be something to it.
Yeah. Dennis, exactly. Thank you so much. I wonder, you'll get a copy of Jennifer's book. You'll enjoy it as well. I've got more calls coming in. Do you want to comment to Dennis at all, Jennifer?
I just want to say that when we're talking about how to alter, how to surrender to the crucifixion, remember that you're already crucified, just as Dennis was reminding us. You are, but you are keeping your flesh on automatic life support. You're resuscitating it every time. So it's not a matter of Jesus has died, the only crucifixion. It's just surrendering your flesh to its rightful crucifixion.
Mm. And I like what you said towards the beginning of the show, where there's times where scenarios present themselves where it seems like we're quote unquote on the cross for a long time, but the flesh continues to rise and rise, but eventually it dies and glory happens. And I know someone's listening today who's like, how long will I be in this fire? But they're being purified in the process. 877-933-2484. Maureen's got a great question for you today. Hey, Maureen.
Hi, Susie and Jennifer. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really am enjoying your topic today. My question is, when you're walking closely with the Lord and you feel like you've got a good relationship with Him and you're, feel like you're walking in the Spirit and gaining that momentum, and then all of a sudden, the next day can come and you just feel totally out of fellowship with Him, like you're so much in the flesh. And I don't know if I've done something different, but it feels like the whole, you know, everything has changed. And I'm wondering if that's Satan trying to discourage us, or if it's a sin that I've committed that I'm on. How come there can be such drastic change so quickly?
Great question.
Yes, it is a great question. And, you know, your flesh is very tied up with emotions. So your flesh measures how well you're doing by emotions. So, first of all, when we're talking about flesh, God is not mad at you. Every time you begin to identify flesh, He's just saying, love you so much, I can set you free from this.
Mm.
And so, don't get tied up with emotions. Your enemy wants to produce emotions in you that are going to cause you to think God doesn't love you, or I'm not as good today as I was yesterday. Oh, your flesh really grabs onto that. So I want to suggest to you that when you have those feelings, you might begin to say to yourself, that's how my flesh gets engaged. My flesh gets engaged in emotions, and the enemy is engaging my emotions, and it's not the truth. So I'm going to take that part of me that is driven by emotion, and that's how I measure everything, and I'm going to alter it. I'm going to put it on the cross. And no matter how loud it calls my name, I'm going to say, oh, no, you are not true. And one of these days, that's going to die. It's complete death, and you're going to discover resurrection. And as we're talking about learning to be free from the flesh, you're not always in a wrestling match with God. He's not always scolding you. He's not always saying, oh, that's the flesh, that's the flesh. He's just saying, let's get free of that. And every time he starts to help you identify in your life a way that your flesh operates, it's because he's saying, we are ready for this now. You're ready for this. I wouldn't have this being exposed in your life if you weren't ready for this. And remember that your flesh can have a very religious tone to it. So it sometimes feels very religious to us to have an emotion that feels shamed in the presence of the Father, like, oh, I'm not close enough to you. That's your flesh. It's tricky. Your flesh is tricky.
Hmm.
And so maybe that's one of the things you want to think about is, my flesh does this. It works up an emotion that makes me feel condemned and ashamed.
Let's talk about, thank you so much, Maureen, for the call, and you're going to really enjoy Jennifer's book, by the way. But let's take a minute, Jennifer, to talk about the capacity that we have as human beings. When we are in the flesh, our capacity for evil selfishness seems to know no bounds. When we're in the spirit, our capacity for love and sacrifice and even miracles, to be conduits of God's miracles on earth, seems to know no bounds. In fact, Graham Cook once said, when I'm in the spirit, he says, I'm brilliant. And when I'm in the flesh, he said, I'm an absolute doofus.
I love that. Flesh is little. It puts boundaries on you. It pins you in. And you've just said that perfectly. The nature of flesh is to be self-worshipping. And we weren't created to be self-worshippers. We weren't created to be narcissists. So it never brings the joy and completeness that we thought it would. If I can just get everything the way I want it, if everything can line up the way I want it, I'm sure I'll be happy. That's what your flesh is saying. Flim flam flesh. It promises what it can't deliver. And so when you find yourself worrying about yourself, now it's not, you're not in trouble. God is not mad at you. He's just saying you weren't born to be self-absorbed. You were born to be God-absorbed. And I think that when flesh began to flower, but flesh flowered even before sin was committed. And what happened when Adam and Eve first sinned, they had always been naked. They had just never noticed before. Because before flesh began to flower in their lives, they were so completely absorbed in who God is. And what happened when sin entered the picture and flesh began to grow is that they became self-absorbed. We weren't meant for that. So the more selfish the response, the more self-centered the response, the unhappier you are.
Yeah, and you know, you see examples in Scripture over and over again when you know, Peter, I remember William MacDonald wrote at one point, Peter's self-life was showing, he says, you know, where his own ambitions were,
yes,
and his own understandings. But then you see when he was in the Spirit, he did not have a fear of man. He made a proclamation of the gospel. It's like he was a faith hero. And really, that is the call of God on all of us, is to be,
yes,
transformed in such a way people who knew us when barely recognize us.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, I love how you said how flesh and spirit never act in harmony, one or the other, never both at the same time. So it's one or it's the other. They don't work together. Say a little bit more about that.
So that's, you know, when I began to, like, do the ABCs of this, I was like, okay, if it's flesh, then it's not spirit. It doesn't get to be kind of flesh, a little bit of spirit. So when I begin to recognize that I'm having responses and emotions that are not coming to me from the spirit, then they are coming to me from the flesh. And I don't have to feel guilty about that. I don't have to condemn myself. I just have to go, oh, flesh, there it is again. This is who I am without you, Father. And you just move intentionally back into that realm of spirit. Lay down the flesh. Just do it on purpose. And the next second, do it on purpose again. And the next second, do it on purpose again. We live life in moments.
And isn't it important to note that there's a potential for life in every moment? Because today, Scripture says, I give you the choice, life and death, blessing or cursing. So no matter what we're enduring, there's a potential for the spirit life to come to pass in our lives, right?
Exactly. And the other verse I love along those lines is, this is the day the Lord has made. And what that word made means arranged and orchestrated and put together and scheduled. This is the day. God has arranged this day not to make you unhappy, not to make you scared, not to make you mad, to make you free. And so it all depends on how you're going to respond to those incidents and people outside of you that you cannot control. Are they going to control you, or are you going to let them be a crucifixion moment that can bring you to the place of unplugging that flesh from its life support and leaving it on the cross until resurrection takes its place?
I'm talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean today about her book, Altered. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We probably have a few more minutes where we can take a couple calls. Maybe you've got a question or comment. We welcome it. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email susie@faithradionet.com. So, you know, there's certain parts of our flesh behavior that seems obvious, our snarky ways, our selfish ways. But you even say that flesh has a way of, if it has enough religious training, it can actually masquerade as admirable. Talk about that and what you mean there.
Yeah. And when I, and I, all this I learned from watching my own ugly flesh. And there's so much of my flesh that for years I thought that that was just very admirable of me. And then I suddenly looked at it and said, that is so fleshy. And one thing that makes me chuckle is when someone says to me, I have the gift of discernment. I go, oh, yeah, you have a judgmental flesh is what you have.
How can I say this nicely and stay in the spirit?
But it's those kinds of things. And you know, we'll go, well, there's such a thing as righteous anger. Well, I can tell you that if anytime I'm angry, I think it's righteous anger. But you, when somebody, you know, when you feel that anger engaging, now you say to yourself, well, what about that is making me angry? And almost every time it's going to get down to somebody has challenged me so that my pride is wounded. That is how where it's almost always going to come. And so it's just, it has been such a freeing, transforming process for me over all these years, and as I say, continues, that I just, I want to be able to communicate it in words that will get it across, but in a certain way, you just have to experience it. I think when some of these processes kind of connect, and then you start watching life in that different way, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. And you're going to find a kind of freedom that you didn't even know was available.
So, so good. You know, talk about my hubby. He's just such a good man. And he's a self-admitted workaholic. God's done transforming work in his life. But he's got a big job, a demanding job. And so for many years, you know, he would mean to be home at a certain time, but it just wouldn't work out. And, you know, that was a little source of frustration at times. But there was a time where he was supposed to be home for something that was important. And he couldn't get there. And I was so mad, so frustrated. And I was rehearsing my speech, you know, and 3-point sermon with a left hook at the end, right?
Yeah.
And God really just said, turn it around. What do you think it's like for him? You know he loves you. You know how bad he must feel. He's got a big, big job. What's it like for him? And I started to think about that, pray for him, and tore my little speech up. And just really came around him when he got home and just said, you know, tough day. And it was a supernatural moment, Jennifer, supernatural. God's kingdom came in between us that moment, in that moment. But also the Lord told me later, that's going with you into eternity. That offer of a cup of water when you wanted to splash it in his face has eternal significance. I don't think we can even underestimate the power of living in the spirit versus living in the flesh, do you?
That's right. No, and in that moment, that's such a perfect illustration. If you had nurtured your flesh and fed that anger until he got home and then spewed that all over him, it would have gotten you nowhere.
That's true.
But because, and that's what flesh does, it will get you nowhere. It's so demanding in your emotions, it's like it's saying, you have to say this, you have to. And when you say this, then you'll be relieved, then everyone will understand that you're right. It never works the way you thought it was going to. Mm. You know that phrase, get it off your chest? Have you
right.
ever heard
it? Tried it, doesn't work.
doesn't get off your chest. And if you ever use the phrase, oh, she pushes all my buttons, flesh. That's buttons, flesh. That's what you can realize.
Yeah, that we have to look at it, the fact that we do have buttons. Well, this has gone so fast. You have to come back because I've got pages of notes left to talk with you about. But I want to make sure we address, you say that there's two wrong responses to our flesh. One is to make peace with our flesh, where we're kind of under a false sense of grace. And the other is to conclude that we're just a hopeless case. And so we find ways to hide and manage our sin. Talk about those two, if you would.
Just, you know, that's why it's so important to understand what flesh is, how it's operating, and what God is doing to free you from it. Because otherwise, when we're trying our best to overcome behaviors, when we're trying our best to correct ourselves, it is never going to work. And so we're finally going to give up, and we're either going to say, I'm a hopeless case, I might as well just live with this, or we're going to say, nobody's perfect. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And nobody's perfect, and I just give up. And you are under grace. You are under grace, and grace is what's going to set you free. But don't make a compromise with your flesh. You know, when you're thinking about it really, you know it has gotten you nowhere. It's been dead weight. You have been dragging around. Perhaps your mother dragged it around and her mother dragged it around, and it's the same old stinky flesh, and you do not have to be bound to that flesh. There is a way out of being bound to flesh and to experience everything that Jesus died for you to have. And that's what the point of altering your flesh is. Jesus died for you to have more than you have right now. Be greedy in the things of the Spirit. Whatever it costs, I want the power of resurrection.
I want all he died to offer me. This is so good. Well, this has just been so excellent. I want to ask you one last question before I ask you to pray. You say there are two parts to this walk of faith, and this is a critical point for all of us to know and understand.
Yes, remind me what I said.
Oh, two parts, his part and our part.
Yes, that is so clever,
right.
None of this is possible without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. None of it. You're not even going to recognize flesh without the Spirit. You're not going to care about getting rid of flesh without the Holy Spirit. But we have to be in a cooperative walk with him. And the writer of Hebrews makes this strange statement. He says, strive to enter this rest. There is a part of this walk that when you say to yourself, I do not want to live in flesh anymore, it is going to feel, it's going to require your discipline, it's going to feel like work, but little by little, the Spirit is going to take it over, that flesh is going to die, and then you're going to walk free. So there is you say a magic word and it's all fixed. You have to be in a cooperative walk with the Spirit of God, who is undergirding you all the way.
You know, our choices matter so much, and it really does take some initiative to respond to the promise, respond to the call. How much does renewing of the mind, taking thoughts captive, play in walking in the Spirit, not gratifying the desires and the bents of the flesh?
Yeah, and sure, that's everything, because your flesh, when your flesh is allowed to just roam free, it has colored your thinking, and you believe lie after lie after lie. And when you begin to recognize flesh and say, moment by moment, I'm altering that flesh, I'm living this minute in the power of the Spirit, now I'm living this minute in the power of the Spirit, little by little, your mind is transformed, and all those lies are washed away, and the truth begins to take their place. And you walk in the power of the truth, and you are no longer bound to that dead weight of the flesh.
Jennifer, it seems like we're in a culture that's very much made peace with flesh. When you think of that, there's really almost no discernible difference between Christians and non-Christians in cohabitation and sex before marriage and abortion and all kinds of things. So somewhere along the line, discernment has waned because the conviction of the Spirit is what shows us wrong. So how does a person acquire discernment and nurture, cultivate a lifestyle of discernment?
Mm-hmm. And that is just by the word discernment means to judge between two things. And the Holy Spirit always has the wisdom. And when we talk about abortion and all the things that we talk about, we know those things are wrong. But there are things even deep that start deeper in us than that, that are also flesh, that are also producing behaviors that are corrupting our relationships. And so God, the Holy Spirit, gives you discernment. He's the only one who knows the mind of God, and he can communicate the mind of God to you.
Wow, this has been so good. You got a little cough there. I'm sorry. Sorry for drawing attention to it just now. But as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person who's listening and realized that they've been maybe they're believers, but they've been living more in the flesh than in the Spirit, and really want to respond to that call of the Savior to follow me and walk by the Spirit. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Father, and I know that this person is listening in this moment by your design, and that you have awakened in this person the desire to know you at such deep levels that they are no longer captivated by flesh that may be in them and been inherited by generations. And it's strong, and it holds them captive, and they see it in their family, and they can't imagine there's a way out. But, Father, today you are speaking to their heart. There is a way out. I can show you how to die to your flesh because I have resurrection power that can operate in your life. And so, Father, I'm just asking you to create wisdom and insight and discernment and understanding, and to bring this person who is longing to live in all Jesus died to bring us, every single thing, would you lead that person into the great power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Jennifer, as always, great having you with us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Great to be with you. The title of the book again, Altered, Experience the Power of Resurrection. I'm going to leave you with a passage from Psalm 30. It's a message paraphrase. I give you all the credit, God. You got me out of that mess. You didn't let my foes gloat. God, my God, I yelled for help and you put me together. You pulled me out of the grave. You gave me another chance at life when I was down and out. All you saints, sing your hearts out to God. Thank him to his face. He gets angry once in a while, but across a lifetime, there's only love. The nights of crying your eyes out give ways to days of laughter. You did it, Lord. You changed wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wild flowers. I'm about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you, God. I can't thank you enough.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all to you, O Lord. I surrender to the King. Let the worship
That makes you want to stand up and put your hands in the air. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Great show today. I'd love for you to share this with a friend. Give us a couple minutes, and by a click of a button, you can share it Facebook, email, or Twitter. And tomorrow, my guest is Ann Voskamp on our weekend edition of Live the Promise. And don't forget to check out my blog post, suzylarson.com. And last of all, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.